Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Shop Amazon for last-minute gifts. Great deals for everyone on your list. Gifts for mom and gifts for dad. Even for your sister and your brother, Chad. Ah, shoot, we didn't realize we were supposed to get a gift for our dog walker guy. We almost forgot about our dentist, Dr. Kerr. We didn't expect to get a gift from her. Or our cousin, I forget his name. He got us something nice, better reciprocate. For last-minute deals on gifts for people you forgot, get fast and free shipping at Amazon.
Blackbusters.
What's cracking with the family? We are back with another episode of Blackbusters, the best movie review podcast in the world.
In the world, Craig.
In the world, Craig.
So I've heard and seen myself.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I am Big Ja, your host, along with my co-host.
Man, there's so many names that I could come up with.
Of course it is.
I could be just multi-toned, right? Like, you know.
Multi-toned is
no. That works, because you know, because of the movie.
Yes.
But they cloned Big Tone, man.
They cloned Big Tone. They cloned Big Tone.
They cloned Big Tone, man.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I'm be hella different on this episode.
Be hella different, bro. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to be. You got to be a little weird. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is a weird situation. And I got my boy back in the building, man. My brother. I had to call him back for this one, man. This is, I feel like, a dope-ass film, acting-wise, story-wise. Right. And I just had to have you here, bro.
Thank you
for pulling up, dog.
Yeah, of course. I appreciate
my,
it.
But my brother, Anthony Durrell.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Welcome back, my man.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, my man.
Always. Yes, sir.
Very happy you're over here. Very happy.
Very happy. I'm very happy that you are here.
Very happy to be here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Man, let's get to it, man.
Yeah.
This movie we're doing today is They Cloned Tyrone.
Yeah.
Man, that's a hell of a name for a movie.
Man.
If that ain't straight to it. They Cloned Tyrone.
Yeah. This movie is maybe the best movie I've seen all year.
Mm. Oh yeah.
That's heavy.
Okay. I've seen this movie four times.
Dope.
Before we decided to cover it for Blackbusters.
Yes.
The first time I saw it, like I'm an emotional eater, right? Mm-hmm. So
wait, you understand. I don't. Emotional eater?
So oh, yeah, like
when you emotional, you eat.
Yeah,
you going through shit.
Yeah,
well, I used to be that.
But for me,
emotion can be like, oh snap.
Yeah,
happy. Eat,
that's how I eat, right? Uh-huh. Like, you know.
So no matter the emotion,
right? Yeah.
I'm happy eating.
Any emotion is fine.
For me, like if I'm enjoying myself, I want my favorite things.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And I remember turning this movie on, and I was 12 minutes in, and I was like. Hold on, pause. You know what I mean? Let me go get some ice cream.
Cookies or something.
Because I was enjoying the movie.
It's about to be one of the films.
Yeah.
I was enjoying it that much.
I don't really get down. So, my emotional eats is the same situation. I could have just eaten, man. And if I go to the movie theater, I got to give me a little thing of popcorn.
Yeah.
Oh, real quick. Now this. I think I know what you're going to say, but I got to ask you. Now, you go to the movie and you get popcorn. Now, yes or no, just yes or no. Do you or do you not get the jalapenos with it?
Here's the thing. I don't get the jalapenos with nothing, though.
Yeah.
So in my
not
defense,
the jalapeno juice, and we can hear a sizzle on top of the popcorn?
The hell, you hear the sizzle?
Yeah.
That's he said yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes.
That's right.
I don't do jalapenos.
Yeah.
Not even on my nachos. Yeah. You know what
okay.
I'm
yeah.
If I see them on there, I'm like, damn, I forgot to say no nachos, no jalapenos. Let me just.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
But it's still, but you can taste it.
I mean,
you can taste it. Somebody put some jalapenos in this.
And I could do juice on nachos here and there if it's just there. Juice, as far as jalapeno juice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, that's different.
Juice? Yeah, Tampico on your popcorn with it? You pouring Tampico on your nachos with it? So I know people who do. Mm-hmm. Wifey does that sometimes. She'll grab jalapenos and put it on her little part of the popcorn.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we sharing. She's not doing it. I'm saying, let me dump some off. You gotta do that. You know what I'm saying? But like, some people do M&M's. I know the homie, he do Whoppers. He liked the sweet and savory. He put the
sweet and savory. You know what I'm saying?
I did not know that, like, there was this much variety happening with popcorn at the theater.
Me neither.
I do popcorn,
but I drown it in butter. I
can't do it.
Unnatural, unhealthy amount of that. Like
I see people.
Like I got the button and I just be like.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Let it run.
Hey, yeah, let it run.
And the thing about it is, I used to do butter. I didn't do, never did a lot, but I would try to, let me get another little basin. So I pour some of it out, butter it down, shake it, then pour that back in.
You don't do that no more, huh?
Yeah. I don't add no butter.
It's too much work to layer it.
And I just like, I'm a part, my taste buds, I feel like, are pretty good, man. So like, I'm the type of person that I'll just eat steamed rice with broccoli and not put no salt, no butter, nothing like that. But you see how
in talking about these foods,
how it's like
I'm setting up my experience.
Yeah.
That's how
good the movie is.
Clone Tyrone. I was like, oh, I'm going to love this.
Yes.
Because this movie has all of the things that I love.
This is the movie, real quick, let me just give a shout out to the director, Jewel Taylor. Jewel Taylor.
Keep working.
Crazy.
Keep working.
Keep getting work.
Keep writing, bro.
Yeah. You did this. Yeah. It was written by Tony Rottenheimer.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I'm sorry, Rettenmeier.
Rettenmeier.
And Jewel Taylor directed it, and he did a phenomenal job.
Man.
Do you know what else he might have done? Because I don't know what the feel kind of gave me. Like, now don't get me wrong, it was definitely a different feel. But the directing, like the lighting, the casting, the costumes, I feel like. Did you ever see It's another black film. Sorry to Bother You.
It
kind of gives me that kind of feel a little bit.
I get that. Yeah.
So I'm like, maybe, you know, but yeah, they Clone Tyrone definitely had even the lighting when what's the pimp name?
Slick Charles.
Slick Charles.
That's a name, bro. Mm-hmm. Slick Charles.
Yes, sir.
And she called him by his whole name when she was going out. She was Slick Charles. I ain't. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Not Slick. Not Charles.
Yeah, Slick Charles.
Yeah.
That was his name.
But this is his directorial debut.
Oh wow!
So he's never directed before. His only other credits, he's got a writing credit for Creed 2.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a writing credit for Space Jam: A New Legacy.
Right.
Okay.
So this guy is new, but
he's rookie
powerful.
Of the year.
Powerful.
Rookie of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This film to me is so dope because it feels so real.
Yes.
Right.
I feel like the characters in the film are real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know
real
what I'm saying?
People. If you go to that area, you might see them.
Yeah.
Fontaine seems real as hell.
Fontaine, bro.
Shout out to John Boyega.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
John, did your thing, bro.
Because he's these Brits.
He's a British dude.
That's what I was going to say. Brits. I was going to bring up. Or when I was telling you off camera, that's what I noticed. I sent an interview with him, and I'm like,
you didn't know?
Nah, I didn't know he was British. What's crazy?
Britain.
I knew
Britain
when he did Star Wars,
uh-huh.
But I forgot. Maybe I forgot. So I guess when he did Fontaine, he did it so good.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, he from L.A.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He put a little twist on it, you know what I'm saying? But to hear the interview, I was like, even better.
The first time I heard him, his non-British accent was this movie called Imperial Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I think I heard it.
Imperial Dreams. It also went to Sundance years ago.
Yeah.
And he played a dude from, I think, Watts or one of the projects.
Mm.
He played that shit real.
Imperial Court. So he's from
he was with the little boy, right?
PJs, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It was him and his son.
Yep.
And his wife or his girl was in jail. Keke Palmer played his girlfriend, his baby mama, whatever.
Right, right, right.
And he just got out of jail, and now he's trying to do good by his son.
Oh, I got to see that. What's it called again?
It's called Imperial Court. I mean, Imperial Dreams.
Imperial Dreams.
It was an indie. It's very much like a. It's more indie than this.
Okay.
They call him Tyrone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he plays a not a gangster, but like a hood nigga from L.A.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And Rotimi's in. Rotimi plays his brother.
Oh, okay.
Rotimi plays his brother. Yep.
Boyega's getting it.
Boyega, yeah. He's doing this thing.
Yeah. He was dope. Jamie was dope.
Slick Charles.
Shout out to the Tiana Paris.
Oh, she's Yo-Yo. Ridiculous.
She was amazing.
She's dope.
Yeah.
She did everything.
She was amazing. Yeah.
She did everything. She had the sex appeal. She had the chops. Mm-hmm. She had the grit.
Yeah.
Like,
she was cursing.
I remember her. Yeah. But she was a girl from the streets that when she pulled that pistol out, I was like, no, I know a girl like that. Mm-hmm. and she out there. She on the streets, too. Like, she out doing the thing. So she got to have, like, a little deuce, a little something.
Yeah.
I love that because the first time I saw her was in WandaVision, right?
Oh, okay.
So she's not only does she have this thing going for her, she's one of the superheroes in the new, you know, the new Marvel, this new phase, right? So she's got powers. But the first time you see her, she's playing, like, just a typical kind of like Marvel girl. So for her to pull this real ass yo-yo out the bag, who was funny, smart, quirky, sexy,
she had that personality.
Silly.
She was awesome. And I'm gonna be real, and I'm gonna say this on camera. She got the kind of personality that if I met her, I don't care if you was a hoe before me.
I need that number.
But let me dust you off.
But they do a great job of establishing that, like, she had aspirations beyond just being a hoe.
Yeah.
Right? But, like, she wanted to do things and be things. She's trapped. That theme of being trapped keeps showing up.
Knowing how to get to where you want. You want to stop what you're doing, but in order to get to where you want to go, you got to kind of keep doing what you're doing.
Right.
I know I said I retired, but I still need a little more bread to get to the Memphis. And the thing is, this is how bad she was living. No disrespect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But her aspirations was to get to Memphis.
Yeah.
Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, if I can get about this trap and get to Memphis.
Yeah.
But that shit is real. I mean, like,
for real.
That's the thought process. That's the realness of, like, the even though, like, they build all the science fiction and all the cool shit on top of it that I find cool, at its base, it's talking about the hood, right?
The hood. Yeah.
And just, like, the shit that keeps you trapped in the hood. And so for her, being in that little small town, I forget what they called
the Glen.
But being in the Glen, Memphis is a big city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if I could get to Memphis, they hiring at Fridays.
Yeah, right,
you know what I mean. That's literally what you dreaming from the bottom up.
Damn.
I get that job at Fridays.
Right,
they paying such and such and such. I get a little apartment.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I didn't even think about that aspect. Mm-hmm. I did read somebody's thought on Yo-Yo's character in Slick Charles.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed the clip when they were on the elevator going down, and Fontaine was in front, but he was dark.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went back to look at the scene, I said, oh, shit, I missed this. He was darker, but they were lit behind him, and they were both going back and forth behind him. He was looking straight ahead. And it said, what if Yo-Yo represents the positivity, wanting more out of life, wanting to get away from life, and then Slick Charles is more. And it was like, they're his thoughts. They're not even real people is what.
They're his.
I was like.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, that's the type of stuff we had to figure out and we had to bring out of our minds in film school back in the day. And you put that in the paper, your teacher going to be like, hey, man. Mr. Durrell, let me talk to you
real quick. Right,
I'm really impressed with you.
Right.
We had to find, like, because when it comes to art, there's no right or wrong answers a lot of the time.
Mm.
And that, even if that's not even what the writer or director wanted to portray,
right?
It's three different stories.
Yeah.
What the writer wrote,
yeah.
What the director wrote, directed, or at four, really, the editor edited,
yeah.
And then what the viewer portrays,
yes. Yeah.
What they interpret.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's dope. I didn't even think about
that. Yeah. I mean, and they clone Tyrone is giving you tons of subtle shit like that.
Yeah.
From like, the fact that he always loses at the lottery ticket.
Always loses.
Right? Like it's a net loser. How many times you've been at the 7-Eleven or the gas station.
Yeah.
You know, watching somebody spend their good hard-earned money on them tickets for a way out.
Yeah.
So you're not getting out that way. Yeah. Right?
Damn.
You know, just the church. You know,
the church.
You know,
David Allen Greer. Keeping you in the church.
Like,
He was all the running he was doing, the singing. And but it was. But back to the liquor store.
Mm-hmm.
He kept losing the lottery, the scratch offs, mm-hmm. and he kept pouring out a little liquor for the homeless dude. The
homie. Yeah.
It was just clockwork. Every mm-hmm. day he was doing that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And for one, it's showing you like the routine of his day.
Yeah.
You know, he do the same thing all the time. I loved how it opened up with the dudes arguing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's random, regular stuff you see.
Yep.
Nothing to me seemed staged or out of place. All these dudes didn't even seem like actors.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I loved about the film. That's what I love about hood films.
Mm-hmm.
That they don't look like, oh, this dude ain't from there, man.
Right.
Even John Boyega, he reminded me of a dude, Fontaine. And let's say this is Arkansas.
I feel like it was Alabama.
Chicago?
I felt like it was like rural, like not like, I feel like Illinois. Like Illinois.
I thought it was the South.
You thought it was down South?
I'm thinking like Alabama, okay. They're trying to get to Memphis.
But that's what I love about it because, A, in the movie, you don't know what year it is.
Right,
yeah,
right.
And especially with the tech, with the flip phones and all of that shit.
Hairstyle. Yeah, and like all that.
So you don't know what year it is. You don't know where the Glen is.
Right.
Right? It's ambiguous. It's anywhere black USA.
There was so many by the houses. I know some like West Side Chicago is very country, I believe, right?
Right.
But not that country to where I see a lot of cities. You know, Chicago city as well, very city.
Yeah,
and this looked like the houses looked like they was in.
Yeah, Fontaine crib was fucked up.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
And mom lived there, so that's just how it was. It wasn't like he was living in a crack house. You know what I'm saying? That was mom's. Yeah,
like he wasn't a trap house.
It looked like a damn.
Right. It just was fucked up.
Yeah, and Slick Charles lived in the hotel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so and, did.
It was a one-bedroom hotel, too. Mm-hmm. I noticed it was a bedroom back. I said, okay, he really lived there.
Yeah, yeah.
With his girls.
Yeah.
And complaining about the juice.
Right. Yeah. No juice.
Yeah.
And so did Yo-Yo. Because when Yo-Yo went to her grandma's house.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's like in her bedroom that she grew up in.
Yep.
Nancy Drew collection there.
Yep.
It humanized her.
Yeah.
She wasn't always a hoe. You know what I mean? And so she had aspirations. She wanted to be, she wanted to use her mind. She loved the Nancy Drew books like my sister did.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they end up being Nancy Drew throughout that whole movie.
What I love about Yo-Yo's room is such a good point. Which goes to your point. Yo-Yo's got the only room that's organized.
Yeah.
She's got the only room that's clean.
Yeah.
Mm. She's got the only room.
Aside from that, alley-oop that, what's the first thing she said when she came in the room? When she let them come up in the room, my grandma up something, y'all mind y'all tongues.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? She can hear good, y'all mind y'all tongues. Yeah. So she had manners, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It was layers to her, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
But to go into what y'all was kind of talking about as far as it was routine. And with the movie, because I was waiting on, I'm like, okay, I guess the whole movie I'm watching, I guess Fontaine's, that's his last name. Because they call him, his name ain't Tyrone until the end of the film.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. But then I thought back at one of the first characters I seen who looks like another character from another film, which kind of plays into the whole cloning thing. The little boy who was looking for Fontaine, when he was sitting in that passenger seat of Fontaine's whip, he looks just like Shorty from Belly.
You know what I'm saying? With the pistol.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He looks just like that little boy. Little dark skinned kid.
Just a little, and that's a little parallel, maybe like showing you that. Okay. Yeah. There's a kid like him in every
A little
boy shouldn't be rolling around with a man that's not his relative.
Exactly.
But just like Shorty was on the block in the park.
Yeah.
Him hanging with Sincere. Like, what are you doing, bro?
Yeah.
Because
every hood got those kids that's out there unattended.
And
that's grown up too
and
fast.
What I love about that little boy is it illustrated the duality that these kids live in.
Yeah.
That the duality of the world that these kids live in. Because as much as he's able to tell Fontaine, they on your corner, And I need to let you know that they slanging on your corner. At the same time, he cracking jokes about SpongeBob.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, both of these things exist in this world. Enough to have eyes for the street. They slinging on Fontaine's corner. I need to let him know. But let me tell you about this funny shit that happened with Patrick as
How
well.
How you don't like SpongeBob?
Right. Like
watch that shit.
That collision. Yeah. That collision of like the streets leaning on his innocence.
Yes.
Right? Like leaning on, like, you know, forcing him down to pay attention.
Yep.
It was just dope.
Another example to that. The whole time he's sipping on that Capri Sun,
like,
when Fontaine hit old boy, he said, "Oh, that boy dead," and didn't even flinch.
And
kept back sipping
and
his
got
drink.
Back, and got back to the Capri.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
With a Capri Sun. Hey. Like, to me, that's brilliant visually.
Yeah.
This is how real the movie is.
Mm-hmm.
When he hit dude with the car.
Yeah.
And broke his leg. And he sat there in pain.
Yeah.
Like in the movies, a lot of times you get hit and you're in pain for the first 5-7 seconds.
Yeah.
And then you're talking regular.
Yeah.
I'll get you, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Nah, he was,
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ah!
Yeah.
Even
when they put him on him at nighttime, he still needed some aspirin. He ain't been to the hospital yet.
He was like, he's telling on some aspirin.
But that's
the
thing. Like again, this is why this movie is so amazing, because it opens doors to so much cultural shit. No health care, no urgent care. There was nowhere for him to go.
Right.
Right? Like, the only thing that he had to deal with this was aspirin. Right? Like,
And a get back, because he hopped out limping.
He got out and limped and let off three.
And would have limped for years.
Yeah.
I know people like that.
You heard what Fontaine said, right?
Yeah. What?
When he leaned over and he said, "You'll never go to the league now."
Yeah.
Right.
Boom.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he probably had hoop dreams. He's probably that nigga in the hood that had hoop dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he just seemed like such a regular dude that you know this from the block.
Yeah.
That's a gangster. He'll blow his gun.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But he's just a regular dude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ah, you broke my leg.
Just a regular dude.
And then even when Fontaine took his bread and walked off, he was like, I remember breaking my leg, bro.
Yeah.
Waiting for the nurse to come with the little cardboard splint and the wheelchair. I see her coming waving from across the yard.
She was taking forever.
I'm like, hurry up. Everybody crawled me. I'm laying down. I'm looking at the Reebok pumps and Nikes. I'm looking at her like. I remember doing that. Why does this doesn't make you feel better?
Well, trying to control
it's
your breathing.
Mental. Yeah. It's mental. Yeah. It's
mental.
It's a mental thing. And he was doing that. So I was like, that's so realistic.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, I seen somebody, I just watched a movie last night where the dude got his hand smashed. And he was like, after like 5 seconds, he was like.
Right.
That's not the way it works. You know how sensitive.
That's not the way it works.
Nerve endings, your fingers and your hands.
Yeah.
You can be like.
That's not the way it works.
Right.
Yeah. I remember the homie cut his finger. This is a cut his finger like 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm driving in the ER. And this is one of the homies, he don't show a lot of emotion at all. Mm-hmm. His finger got cut. And I see him, I'm driving. I see him just say,
Yeah.
God damn, man.
Working it out.
You good?
He said, working it out.
And then he said, this shit hurting, bro. I said, damn. All right, bro, I'm going to get you there. He was
pain.
Like, And as we could pull him off the freeway, he was like, damn, man. His hand, because it's showing the nerve endings in your fingers.
Yeah.
And your hands, like, bro,
so
your
how do you have a
hands.
Broke finger? And you like,
he was like,
I'm going to massage it out.
I'll take care of it, boss.
Yeah.
Homie.
Nah, you go, like, fuck. Mm-hmm. He smashed his hands. He probably broke all this, knuckles and everything.
Yeah.
So for him to sit there, and then hours later, he was still fucked up, man. Ooh, that's pain, bro.
It was still fucked up.
And I like when the scene where, first of all, let me say this: Fontaine running dude over and then going about his day like nothing. You knew they was getting back at you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You didn't even have the wherewithal to watch it back. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when they pulled up behind him, I love that scene. Because we saw the process.
I was mad at that scene.
I was too. But I loved it at the same time.
At the hotel?
At the hotel.
When they shot, I didn't like how they did that.
And hold on. Before I say what I say, why?
Because he knew what it was. And we saw that he knew what it was by the way his breathing changed.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That scene was long and it changed like that, which I love that part.
Mm-hmm.
I love how they did that part. I love the I heard the bass in the background. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
With
the car running. That was dope. Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love the lights. You know what I'm saying? The neon lights, the angle, everything.
Yeah.
I love the fact that even when he was trying to get out of here, he was like, rah, like really trying to, I feel like he was really, he knew he was dying, but he was like, fuck, y'all motherfuckers got me.
Yeah.
But why they have him hop out like that?
Hey, his thing.
He could have masked out first and then went around, or he could have, but why they have him hop all the way out?
Yeah.
But you know, if you watch the whole movie, he's the hothead. He's the guy, hey, yo, chill.
Yeah.
In his mind, like him putting it in reverse and trying to get out of there first is running.
Yeah.
In his mind, I'm not running from these niggas.
Mm-hmm.
Some dude's like, bro, you know you can.
You're right.
You know you could just, you could put it in park. I mean, you put it in reverse and slam, bam.
Yeah.
And while they shooting at you, you can still keep forward, bam, try to get up out of there.
Yeah.
In his mind, I'm going to shoot my way out.
Right, right, right.
And that's
right,
stupid.
Right.
I'm not doing that. I get that, but
he's
the person that, first of all, he ran the dude over and then went on about his day.
Yeah.
With no backup, no, he don't have, he got homies too.
Yeah, and his homie told him, when you want to ride out, let us know. And he still was like, I handle it.
But I really think that he's a person that some people move thinking this might be my last day.
Yeah.
I promise you.
Yeah.
Because I know you don't do like that.
Yeah, yeah,
and if you talk to him, I got homies who I grew up with. I'm like, bro.
They don't care.
What happened? Crash out. Yeah. They be like, man, I'm going to keep it 100, bro. I'm 40 right now. I was supposed to be dead 5 times ago.
Fontaine has that energy.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I did so much whack shit, so much treacherous shit.
Yeah.
That he probably like.
Yeah. Everybody responds to Fontaine like that. Like he's a pit bull off the leash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Like, like whenever he could, like the energy shifts around Fontaine.
Slick Charles, like,
damn, God damn, you know, he was scared.
Yeah.
Even like the prostitutes and stuff like that.
Right.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
When Fontaine was around, it was like get down or lay down,
right?
And they matched that energy with Isaac, who plays the other gangster
who was with the business.
He was with the shits too.
Uh-huh.
He was with the shits too.
I mean, in all of that, I understand. I guess because I saw the other side of Fontaine, where not only did he make his mom's the sandwiches, but he cut them for her, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You know them dudes, bro.
So I'm like, you at least got, that's why I'm like, at least for moms, why would you? That's why I'm thinking, like, he still has something to live for, and he still loved his mommy. Some cats in them situations that got moms, they check out. You know what I'm saying? He wouldn't be knocking her, hey, mom, I made you a sandwich, and he cut it for her, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And he kept, that was one of the repetitive things he'd do, check on moms.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's part of the reason why I was like, why you just go out like you ain't have nobody in the world? That's what I was pretty much saying.
What you're saying, it makes sense. But I feel like he's just like Yo-Yo. He feels trapped. He
They all feel trapped. That was the
theme. That was the concept, yeah.
The theme was like, not only are they trapped, but there are forces designed to keep you there, right?
Yeah.
Now, after Fontaine gets blasted, this is the only nitpick I have about this movie, that they could easily just replace him. And every, you know, like they literally put him back in the game.
And I watched this. So when I first watched, absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
I watched this film at the ABFF, right? And it was dope. Shout out to ABFF, man. It was super. That was the first film they showed for the kickoff the festival. And
that's dope.
I was thrown off. There ain't the pause button, in the reverse, in the rewind, nothing. I was
right.
I just saw him get laid down.
Is he dead?
And so, is he dreaming?
Yeah. Right.
Was that a dream?
Same thing.
And then he walked around. It took me a while. And then he went back to Slick Charles's hotel. I was like, what am I watching?
Yeah.
I started to get a little frustrated. Like, man, come on, man.
I enjoyed that part because there were these little breadcrumbs that let you know that things were different. Like, so for example, after he gets shot and he wakes up, right? Like, you know, he goes and he's playing the scratcher, but he's playing a different square in the scratcher than he was on the first day.
I didn't catch
that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like the scratcher,
it was like in the middle,
and the one was to the right. When he pours the booze in the homeless guys, the homeless guy already has some in his cup, right? Mm. So on the first day, the cup was empty.
Right. I didn't catch
the
that.
Second day, he's pouring some booze on top of some booze that's right. already there.
Right.
So that, so there's like little teeny tiny stuff like that that lets you know. And then, of course, he comes home, the pizza box is already there.
Right.
That's his trigger to go like,
oh,
where's Slick Charles and the money?
Right.
So like following those things get you there. And then, of course, Slick Charles gives the big reveal. What the fuck are you doing here?
Right.
I saw you get killed last night.
And I didn't
night.
Even see until I watched it again this morning, because I've seen it a total of 4 times too. Mm-hmm. 3.5 actually. I dozed. But the part where he was back at the, after he just did the scratcher, and he saw old boy stumbling up the street before the black truck came.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was Fontaine. I didn't catch the fact that that was him. It was blood on his shirt and all of that. So I didn't catch that. I was like, who was that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe it was just somebody he seen a black truck pick up.
Mm-hmm. And so are you sure that was him?
That was him. Because he had the gray, I remember, because he had on a gray Nike. Specific, I saw that it was Nike. You know what I'm saying? They don't do no accident. So when I saw that, I was like, oh, that's a gray Nike hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
And it had blood on it. You know what I'm saying? From when he was stumbling in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
I saw the big blood stain. That's why Fontaine was looking like, am I tripping?
Is that me?
Yeah. Is that me? Like, but he's not going to think, is that me? But he
knows it's not him.
Yeah, right.
He
denied it when he saw the body. He was still like, that's not me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so right. I know when he saw that walk, he was like, well,
yeah,
I've been drinking. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Ain't no telling. But yeah, I didn't catch that too. You said the breadcrumb.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But that's but to me, like at this point, like at that point, like once after he gets, I'm already enjoying. It could just be a hood movie. I would already been like, I fucking love this. Like I love the way they shot this. I love everything. But once we make that switch and he comes back, and now like, we get into this. Now I'm like, oh yeah. That's the point where I went and got my snacks. Because I was like, oh, this is going to be fucking dope.
Yeah.
And then when they go, they find Yo-Yo. They go to the house. They go down to the laboratory. I'm like,
when I see the white dude with the afro, I said, oh, this is getting good.
Yeah.
White dude with an afro in the lab?
Before we get all the way down there,
mm-hmm.
I want to talk about how we gradually saw that a Fontaine was realizing what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Or realizing that something ain't right.
Yeah.
With me and everything else, because he kept saying, man, where the money at? He said, bro, you told me you got the money. You were just here. He said, and he's like, but I saw you get lit up yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like,
it was Yo-Yo's cosign.
Right.
They had to go find Yo-Yo, and Yo-Yo was like, yeah, like, I assumed it was you. I heard the gunshots.
I thought it was you killing Charles.
Yeah.
Doing me a favor.
Yeah, he was like, Yo-Yo. Yeah.
But I saw the car.
I double back
and saw the car that came and picked you up, and then they get to looking for the car, and that in the car that she points out is the same car that he saw pick up that dude randomly.
Pick up him,
pick up him,
right.
Yeah. And now they're in the house.
Now they walk in the house.
Yeah.
And all right. So one thing to me that throws me off is why is Slick Charles and Yo-Yo going into this trap house with him in the dark.
Yeah.
With a truck outside. So they already thinking there's somebody in there.
Yeah.
With shotties, maybe a Tech Nine even.
Why are they looking out like that?
Yeah. They don't have no choice because of Fontaine.
I'm thinking they're afraid of him.
They're afraid of him.
So they, if I, so
I got it's deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to go in there. Oh, this is my other theory before you say it.
Yeah.
You might not even say this, but when it's all said and done, they got each other's back. I noticed this about as bad as Slick Charles talked about Yo-Yo and Yo-Yo about Slick Charles.
Yeah.
Like
they for sure had each other's back.
He wasn't, and he was like he wasn't gonna leave without her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she wasn't gonna leave without him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like every time, even when he was in the van, he was in the van, trapped, and she was like, we gotta go get him.
Yeah.
Like she was trying to call him. His phone's in the back seat. She's like, this dumbass.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
right.
She could have been, I'm supposed to be on my way to Memphis now.
Yeah.
Nah, man. And that's, honestly, a lot of hoes, they pimp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They do.
It's that
like
relationship.
That.
Yeah.
They do be like that.
Yeah.
Even that, I know some pimps who, retired pimps, who still live with their former hoes.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
And they taking care of them like big brother, daddy.
They're family.
Yeah, they still family. Because
family.
They, when it's all said, then they don't have nothing else.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? Slick Charles didn't have no family, bro. That was the family.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was that Because remember when I told you that she was like, oh, when I heard the gunshots, I thought that was you doing me a favor. And that's why it's very subtle, mm-hmm. but you catch Slick Charles say, yo, what you saying? Damn, like, that's damn, cold. Like that's messed yeah. up. And then on top of that, when she got on the elevator with him, with Fontaine, Slick Charles could have left. But he was like, damn, because of Yo-Yo, I'm going.
Yeah, you know that's what he was. Because yeah. Fontaine was by himself. Yeah. I'm in the car.
Yeah. yeah.
But I think aside from the fact that they were scared of him, I think it was deeper than that. They were also curious as well because there's something going on.
They're more curious than he is.
Yeah. yeah.
They know more than he does.
Yeah.
He don't know.
He don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, they know for sure. I saw you yesterday, bro. Yeah.
But nobody knows more than Slick Charles. That's why he like, hey, right. I'm cool. You know what I'm saying? That ain't freaking y'all out. And he know at the end of the day, I done seen you get killed. Mm-hmm. Now you show, man, I don't want
to. He said, you're supposed to be leaking right now.
Yeah.
I think like you guys make such great points. And I think they're all tethered together. Like Fontaine needs to find out what happened to him. Right. That's why he steps on the elevator. Yo-Yo from the Judy Blume, you know.
Nancy Drew.
She's curious and
she said,
adventurous.
Yeah, adventurous as hell. Yeah.
She steps out. And then to your point, Slick Charles cares about her.
He steps on
the elevator, not for Fontaine.
For Yo-Yo.
But for Yo-Yo. I think after that event, and we can talk about the laboratory, but when they get back to Yo-Yo's grandma's house, I think they all kind of care for Fontaine a little bit.
Yeah.
Because now they realize that, like, now they've got big question marks.
Yeah.
And we're in this shit together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's when they get real close. Yeah. Especially after Slick Charles kill old boy, but it's really Yo-Yo's fault, but it's really not. Because at the end of the day, he brings Fontaine to Yo-Yo.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's like, let's go find Yo-Yo. You know what I'm saying? He bring her to it. So he kind of responsible for it.
Yeah.
So they all locked in now.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I feel like at that point, that was a turning point, you know what I'm saying? Where they were like, okay, we gotta look out for each other.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Even when Slick Charles said, excuse me, Slick Charles said something to Yo-Yo about like her sucking dick, and mm-hmm. he said something to her about her being a hoe, and it hurt her feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can see it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, even Fontaine did. Fontaine, they both did jabs at her for being a hoe.
Yeah. Right.
But Fontaine said it to her, and it hurt her feelings, and you could tell it affected him.
Yeah.
Mm. It affected him. Yeah. I saw it.
Looking at the subtle.
He didn't say, I'm sorry, but he said he knew he went too far.
Right, right, right.
You
right,
know
right.
what I'm saying? Because she's out here trying to help him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And he said, send him out. So blah, blah, blah. He's out here sucking dick for such this money. And she did this. She was like,
yeah.
Mm. I let you in my house, bro. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I let you sleep in my bed.
Yeah.
I slept on the floor.
Yeah.
If you notice that.
Yeah. You know what I would notice he had his shoes all on the bed too.
Yeah, I was like, damn. Nah, take off the J's, my nigga.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But he woke up, got his goons,
yeah.
went back to the crib.
Hey, the goons just
they was riding
off,
man. Yeah, they was with the shits.
Like, oh yeah, man. He said, I don't mean to rush you, bro. But
you know who old boy reminded me of when he said, dog, all you gotta do is say the word, we got you. Who he reminds you of? That we know.
Ali.
He was sitting on the thing, and he had the fan.
Yep. That nigga had the fan every scene.
But listen.
Yeah. Every scene.
Aside from that, he said, dog, all you got to do is say the word. You know, I got you. Mm-hmm. Who that sound like? Brother Dean.
Dean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thurgood.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that for sure. They kicked that door in, and they didn't know nothing. He said, bro, I need y'all to come back to this crib with me.
Even that part. And he was like, dog, let me know something, dog. It sounded like Dean. Yeah. I'm like, Dean,
they was inside. They was like, he would have murdered that.
Yeah.
He was like, let me know something. What we looking for, man? Because Tyrone Fontaine wasn't saying nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was spooked. He was like, he was going to every room looking like this room different. And they're like, bro, all right, we in here. And now what?
Yep.
Let me know something, dog. What's going on? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Get me nervous, bro. You ain't saying nothing.
Right.
But they was ready.
They was ready.
Yeah. And then he went to the closet and he was like, he was expecting to move or something.
Yeah.
And then he went out there, even when they left him, he left his homies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They know Fontaine is just one of them dudes.
I thought he was riding with you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like he had his partners, but he only called his partners when he really had to throw down.
Right.
Like he should have did, when he ran that dude over, they should have went with him everywhere he went for the rest of that day.
But again, that's thinking how I was thinking too. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, why you not doing what make? But again, he probably feel like, it is what it is. And on top of that,
I don't live scared.
On top of that, he not living scared. Dang, what kind of I guess contest what I was saying as far as he has somebody to live for as far as moms. Fontaine was dead inside because his little brother died.
Bro. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. His mom, in his mind, my brother dead. My mom is in mourning for years now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me at least make her these sandwiches.
Yeah.
You know, so all niggas know how to
Felt guilty.
Yeah. And he wouldn't open that door because she was like, she didn't want to see it. So how I saw it was he's suffering, right?
Yeah.
Mom's suffering and they're both suffering separate.
Yeah.
They're not dealing with nothing.
Yeah.
She doesn't even want to open the door to see him. A lot of time when you lose a child, mm-hmm. it affects how you feel about your other children. Yeah. Or a lot of times you mourn so much you neglect the other kids.
Yeah.
He was a neglected son.
Which was the flaw in their design.
Right.
The flaw in their design with Fontaine is even though he was dealing with pain, it was the residual love. Mm-hmm. Right? He had love. He had love for his mom.
Right.
And he had love for his little brother.
Mm-hmm.
And it was love that he had for that little boy that I think was the catalyst in to get back and get him down. Right. Yeah. Like, I think when he has that conversation with the little boy outside and they get to spraying each other with the juice box, at that point, I think Fontaine decides to fight back. Because up until that point, you know, and I'm kind of like, jumping ahead, he decided that I was just going to do what I'm going to do.
And Yo-Yo was like, you a buster.
Yeah.
You a buster.
I got a question for y'all. Mm-hmm. And this is something that tugged in my heart real quick, but it was so much going on, I had to keep up with the movie. I didn't want to stay on it too long.
Right.
What y'all think happened to Fontaine Mama, bro?
Okay. So.
That she never existed.
Right. So.
She never existed and the brother never existed.
If you think about it.
Mm.
Yeah, he did exist before.
But in old man Fontaine.
Oh, so yeah, Fontaine.
His mom been dead.
Wow. Yeah.
Because
the real, Fontaine lost his mom
years ago.
40 years ago.
Yeah, years
ago. You know what I'm saying? So he was just made a clone, and this guy's name is Fontaine. The next, but in L.A., we jumping too far. But if you ain't seen the movie yet,
spoiler alert,
you're a loser.
You're right.
But like Tyrone is the L.A. clone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Fontaine
is the Glenn clone.
Is the Glenn clone. Yeah.
But they all come from
old Fontaine.
Old Fontaine.
And they know their habits is already set. They got they know what, Fontaine.
What was the henchman name? Was the name Chester?
Chester.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chester. That was the same clone.
Yeah.
But Chester was Chester. Fontaine, mm-hmm. and because Fontaine is known in the Glen as Fontaine, every time he comes back, he's still Fontaine.
Yeah.
What city did they see the naked?
That was the Glen.
That was in the Glen. When all the clones were spilling out by the street.
But Tyrone and his crew from L.A., they was watching the news that was happening over there.
I remember that part. Where did Fontaine and them say they were going, though?
It was going to go to Memphis.
Memphis.
At the end of the movie, they decided they was going to go to Memphis.
And that's why I think it wasn't Chicago. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to go from Chicago to Memphis. You'll go from Memphis to Chicago.
But maybe that's the reason why they went to Memphis, because of how Memphis is. Maybe that was another message in it, the fact that they're going to Memphis, because that is a real place where that kind of stuff could possibly happen.
They did kind of allude to like a sequel of them fighting to take down even more of the man that now that they know what to do.
That'd be cold.
After they do Nancy Drew.
Would be cold.
Oh, hell yeah. Because
they don't tell them who else they'll introduce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the plot.
And you see, there's still another Tyrone out there.
Yeah. Like his story.
In a chair.
His story.
No, I'm not Tyrone. Another Fontaine. Remember?
In a chair.
Remember that? They thought Fontaine was dead, so they made him another one. Right? And he was in the body bag. He came to life. But he was never dead. He was just shot in the arm.
And they tied him up.
And they tied the new Tyrone up. They tied him up in the chair.
The new Fontaine.
The new Fontaine.
Okay.
So remember, like when, which was a great scene when they go to Isaac, the other gangster, and they give him the story.
Uh-huh.
He's working on his lines in the car.
Yeah, that was
which was awesome. When he shoots that Fontaine, and that Fontaine plays dead.
So the van is going to pick him up and take him
into the facility. When they drop off the new Fontaine,
you're right.
That's when Slick Charles and the prostitute hem him up.
Yeah. Right, 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 right.
Tie him up. They snuff him out and they tie him up. Mm-hmm. So he's still.
He got in the car. He was like, he said, those off.
Yeah.
Those off.
So that Fontaine is in the hotel right now.
Right.
Like he's still in the hotel. He don't know nothing.
All he knows is
all he knows is his programming.
Yo Yo and Slick Charles got me tied up. But he knows them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He's programmed.
It was the other prostitute that did it.
Oh, yeah.
She was funny. I don't know her name, but she was great. Biddy. Was that Biddy?
I think so.
Yeah. So there are a couple of things that I want to point to. I mean, because literally every single aspect of this movie, we hadn't even talked about what they're doing with the white guys. But like what I loved is I loved all the different things in the hood that had purpose, like the chicken.
The hair products.
Yeah. The hair grease. The grape juice in church. Cream. You know what I mean?
The grape juice, the communion juice at church. Yes.
Communion. The music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, right. The music?
That was up. Yeah. The music.
There was so much symbolism there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even when they was listening to the music in the car, and he's like, oh, I'm getting sleepy. I'm just the
music
like,
makes
damn.
Me sleepy.
Yeah.
And the way homegirl was she was getting her hair done. And she was talking. She was complaining. They doing us wrong, you know, such and such and such.
That creams are sitting in.
Maybe I'm just tripping. Man, I thought all of that was...
The chicken got you giggling.
And
he recognized it because he had never seen Fontaine laugh.
Yeah.
I thought that was so awesome, man.
And so that was...
I thought that was so awesome.
He said, I've known you a long time. I've known this nigga a long time. He ain't never smiled before. Mm-hmm. And then she laughed.
Yeah.
And Fontaine was rolling. He was like, I never...
And at a time like this.
I never seen you laugh.
Yeah. He got to looking around. And the entire chicken joint.
Everybody rolling.
And when he slapped everything off the table,
mm-hmm.
they keep laughing.
Yeah.
They looked at him for a minute.
They looked at him.
And kept laughing, yeah. And then went...
went right back to that.
Damn, just how easily the one little distraction that'll make you... And then they go right back to what they've been programmed to do because of whatever's in that chicken.
We think about... Like, I think about the products. I think about the products that are like staples in the black community. Right, like 40s ain't as big as they were.
Yeah.
But like 40s was a thing. Like,
yeah, I remember.
Like that was a thing, right?
Yeah.
You know, Popeyes, chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was a thing. Like the certain boozes, grape swishers. Like all of these things that are just only really in our hood. Like they sell them everywhere, I guess. But they over-index in the hood, in our community.
You gonna see about 13 Popeyes in the hood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the suburban areas, you're going to see 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe. You know what I'm saying? You're going to see more KFCs than Popeyes.
Yeah.
And even then, you'll see more El Pollo Locos in the hood than anywhere else.
El Pollo Loco.
It's the same thing.
Popeyes. Used to be KFC.
Yeah.
You don't get Chick-fil-A in the hood.
No.
No.
Not like.
We just got one.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But the grape drink, like the metaphor in church.
At church on communion day, we had grape drink.
That grape drink.
Yeah, and the little wafer, the little
It represents the flesh of Christ.
The way they was playing back that ass up,
man.
And folks,
just so good. Yeah, and the white dude with the afro is basically culture vulture.
Yeah,
yeah. You know what I'm saying? It was so much symbolism in this film. I thought it was dope, and it was up to your interpretation and for you to realize it as the movie went on.
Yeah,
and it is, and I felt like it makes sense because it is culture vulturing. Even with the food, because the food is a culture as well.
Right.
Black people's food is a culture. And I was telling somebody this, how it's culture vulturing with all of the foods, because recently I seen a meme that said Caucasian style cuisine or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what y'all selling in there? But then when you look at Taco Bell, Taco Bell is a whitewashed version of a real taco spot. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I'm saying? Even with other... food spots like Arby's is really a barbecue spot, but with a different kind of spin on it. You know what I'm saying?
Tri-tip.
Yeah, we don't eat that yet. Tri-tip sauce.
That's beef stroganoff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
The beef stroganoff.
Got you dipping a sandwich in some beef juice.
The beef stroganoff.
Even though the stroganoff is actually good, though.
Yeah.
But we know that beef stroganoff isn't black culture.
Yeah.
Hey man, beef stroganoff is a funny dish to me. I don't know why. I guess because the first time I heard about it, that's Gang was like, "Oh, that beef stroganoff." Oh man,
beef stroganoff. You heard about it that late?
Yeah.
Huh?
I knew about it as a kid.
When I saw a Soul Plane, I said, "Ugh, beef stroganoff. Mm-hmm. What is that?" And he went.
It looked terrible, but beef stroganoff is fire. If you ain't never had it,
no.
It's a. I heard it like in the white school, the white movies back in the day.
Yeah.
Ooh, is something you're supposed to eat with your pinky
beef stroganoff? Mm-hmm. No. It's like a hearty meal. It's like hamburger helpers. It's like a
what's in it, man?
Beef stroganoff. It's like beef chunks, like not tri-tip, but it's like a stew, over rice or over noodles or something like that, right? So beef stroganoff is like a German dish.
Yeah,
it's like a European dish.
I mean, it's interesting because like the grocery store. Is filled with things that are just not like natural to like black people's diet.
Yeah.
Right. So there's whole aisles of like you can go find some beef, you could go find some boxed beef stroganoff tonight.
Yes.
like it's in the aisle. You can go get it.
You can find that.
But you'll walk right past it because that's not your, not your flavor.
Yeah. So but
boxed beef stroganoff. That's crazy.
Go get some beef stroganoff.
Yeah. Beef stroganoff
in
a box.
That's so, beef stroganoff, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, see, that looks like fine cuisine.
You can fuck that up, though. Yeah. Beef stroganoff is good.
Almost like.
Hey, this got mushrooms in it, though. And parsley.
That's
stew.
A gourmet beef stroganoff.
Yeah. This don't look like what Kevin was eating on.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They made it look worse, though. But some beef stroganoff is highly sauced.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's like, it's more stewish.
Like, you know the way, like, they're 20 different ways to make top ramen.
Yeah.
Right.
Dry top ramen.
Somebody that knows ramen can take that little square and turn it into some.
Oh, yeah.
My cousin made it in Alfredo one time. Mm-hmm. It was mind blowing. She took the noodles, drained all the water, poured a little bit of milk, and then half the sauce packet in with stir. I said, "What's that?" She said, It's Alfredo. It's fettuccine. It's chicken Alfredo. And it tastes like it because it had. The milk sauce in it.
And the noodle base.
The milk sauce.
Yeah.
And the noodle base.
And the noodle base.
Yes. Man, so, beef stroganoff is fire, though. You actually could enjoy that. They got different kinds. I'm saying.
Before we get to the awards, even though I feel like there are a bazillion things that we haven't talked about, I like the ending, and I like the way the hood fought back.
Yeah.
Right.
I was surprised that they put that in there like that, though.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing.
Like it's us against them.
Kind of gave me the feeling with the little chair video. You know what I'm saying? That same. Mm-hmm. It gave me that
Montgomery
same.
Montgomery Brawl.
Yeah. And then with Slick Charles talking, and she was like, "Yeah, I got the whole hood with me.
I got the whole hood with me.
I was like, "Woo."
I love that scene, too. I'm a visual dude, too. Yeah. I love to see
them all ride.
Wide shot.
Yeah.
A zoom out. A pull-out shot where...
You know what it gave me last time that I checked?
Yeah, of course.
Like Nipsey. It gave me that Nipsey video vibe. I was like,
the Calvary.
Yeah!
What I like, though, and this is, like, it's brilliant. This movie, every time I watch it, it climbs higher
on my list
of, like, my favorite all-time movies. Because all the hood needed to know was that it was us against them.
That's
all the hood ever needed to know was that it's us. Like they are trying to fuck with us. And they're fucking with our food. They're fucking with our head. Like they're trying to control us. Just simply knowing that fact was enough for the hood to galvanize.
Yeah.
Right, like and ride out.
I love the scene where the montage of scenes where it showed how they got the plan together. Mm-hmm. How Fontaine ran up on old boy with the crutches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was trying to get away. Hey, man.
Right.
He said, "Make sure Isaac get back to me, man."
Right.
All
right?
And he walked off. And he was like, he looked at the camera. He was like, "Fuck you." You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Just to keep the energy so the camouflage, the what they were really trying to do.
Right.
Like it was a beef steal.
Right.
And they was in the cars and the girls were like, "Yeah, so he said $10,000.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
How they played
it was very, they found a way. They figured it out. They put their black minds together and they figured out a way through all of that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Through cameras, through the microphones, all of that. We still got to keep the same, you know what I'm saying? But the delivery is going to be different.
And I love that Slick Charles was the was the architect of it all.
Because he was slick.
He was slick.
Even when he hit the money, I was
smart.
Yeah.
He's smart.
He was smart, like a pimp.
Right. Slick like a pimp.
Understood people.
Yeah.
Understood, you know, what was going on and how it all worked. It was just dope.
Well, as a pimp, you know, the minds of pimps are pretty interesting.
Bro. Yeah.
Like to be able to be the warden and the savior mm-hmm. at the same time
yeah.
to his flock of women.
Manipulation.
Head mm-hmm. games and all that. Yeah. You got to be kind of sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He finally put it to good use. You know what I'm saying?
Pimps have to manipulate facts.
Right.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And that's exactly what Slim Charles did. He created a story. He created a narrative. He modified the facts for the people that were watching
mm-hmm.
so that they thought what they saw was reality.
Right.
The same way
you make a woman feel
like
I'm gonna give it a word. I'm gonna give your mama, your mm-hmm. daddy, your brother, your papa.
Yeah. So, exactly. He said he tried with Fontaine when Fontaine wanted his money. And he was telling him, I was Pimp, what'd he say? What Pimp of the Year?
Pimp of the Year.
Yeah. He said, show me some respect. He's like, man, that shit don't mean nothing to me. Where my bread at?
Where my bread at?
You know what I'm saying?
It didn't work for him.
Where my bread at?
And when he was thinking on the car, he was like, I got a plan.
You ain't gonna like it.
He said, you ain't gonna like it. And of course, if you tell me, bro, you gotta get shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're not gonna like it. You're not gonna get killed. You gotta get shot by the dude that killed you the first time
mm-hmm.
to get reshot.
That's different.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's sacrifice.
That's crazy. Yeah.
That's sacrifice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is not a comedy.
Yeah.
It's not, but like
it's a dark comedy.
It's a dark comedy.
You know what I'm saying?
Because like when they're singing I'm going down in the elevator.
Right.
You know, it's even hilarious.
Before that, just the pimp, his character alone is hilarious.
Yeah.
Right.
So Charles Yo-Yo is funny.
Yes.
You know, with her
Isaac
jokes.
Is funny.
Isaac is funny.
When he pulled the strap out under the poncho.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, man, you know, I forgot what he mm-hmm. said, but he was like, yeah, we'll see about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it was like he was like,
yeah.
Yeah, right.
We'll see about
right,
that.
Right, right, like, right. The real subtle, yeah. The real subtle. Yeah.
It's not goofy humor. It's just, real life situations that make it funny. And that's the kind of comedy I like.
I want, like you, like writer, director, actor, both of you guys, like if I was to make a movie, it would be just like, Tyrod.
Yeah.
Because that's, yeah. I mean, you know,
that's my style, bro.
I loved it so much. It was satirical. You know how much I love satire.
Mm-hmm.
With
a message, too.
With a message.
Kiefer Sutherland came out the
it
picture.
Was not hokey. Like, that shit felt real.
Yeah.
And I love movies where we put black people in unfamiliar places.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where it's not cooning.
Yeah.
Right? Like black people, like they clone Tyrone. I want that like in a zombie movie.
Yeah.
Like I want to see those three characters dealing with the zombie apocalypse.
Ugh.
Right? Like that type of shit.
You don't hear in zombie movies and horror films and blood and very gory filled movies.
Yeah.
You don't hear
how nasty it is.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Right.
What the fuck? We need to get one of those.
We need to throw his body outside. I ain't touching that.
He stinks. Yeah. All that. Yeah.
You don't.
Y'all need to start writing that for Halloween. Right?
Yeah.
He stank. I'm touching that nigga.
Y'all want to see a dead body? Yeah. Stop playing so much.
Yeah. Right.
Stop playing so much.
Nigga. Yeah. It's hilarious, bro. Like regular stuff. Even seeing like Slick Charles leaving his phone in the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's hilarious to me.
Yeah.
She called him and then his phone rings. Like, this nigga's stupid.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I think it's so relatable to me. I feel like I know those three people.
Yeah.
I definitely know Fontaine.
And I know those three environments. Like, I love the fact that, like, the entryway to the laboratory, to the underground, were these places where black people be all the time.
Yeah.
Right
in your face.
Right? Like, the record store was there. Mm-hmm. The strip club.
Yeah.
The trap house.
Yeah.
The restaurant. The chicken shack. The church.
Yeah.
Like, all of these places where black people be all the time is where the secret passage
looked like a normal neighbor's house.
It was a trap house.
The other house wasn't a trap house. The house, it was a kid's.
The house with the elevator?
Yeah.
It was originally a trap house.
No, I'm talking about when they went back.
When they went back, they had transformed it.
Yeah, into a
house.
Yeah.
They had a room. Basketball court on the wall.
But the previous version of it
was a trap house. And they just switched it like that.
And she was like, they got a break room in the trap house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
We got to get into some awards.
Yeah.
We got, fuck, man. We could go 2-3 more hours.
Yeah, because it's so much to unpack.
Or was there anything, before we get into the awards, was there anything that you guys wanted to say about this movie, whether it be a scene, theme, or something that we haven't touched on before?
Yeah, I think the overall point of this film was to show how white people or the dominant society sees us. And so, where are we at? We eat chicken, drink malt liquor, and that keeps us in our place. So mm-hmm. as long as you feed them chicken and feed them liquor and let them shoot each other and gang bang and sell drugs to each other, we fine. Keep them in this space.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We don't want her hoeing in Memphis. We want her hoeing in the Glen. So let's keep her in the Glen.
Right.
We want Slick Charles to live in that hotel for the rest of his life.
Right.
And we don't want him to go nowhere.
Right.
And as long as we get Fontaine. Baby girl made some fish. I'm still full. As long as he get his mama in that behind that door, he'll never see her, but he hears her every day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He'll stay home.
Right.
He ain't going nowhere.
Leave, right.
He won't leave. So they wanted to keep them in the trap and keep them, their minds trapped too.
Keep that picture on the fridge. So every time you see that picture on the fridge, you feel sorry all over again. You know what I'm saying?
Sorry for herself.
He's still mourning. Yeah.
Keep that routine popping.
And it was interesting that Fontaine was a clone, Slick Charles was a clone, and Yo-Yo wasn't.
I thought about that.
And that's why Yo-Yo wanted to get up out of there.
Yeah.
She's the only, out of the three, she's the only one that had aspiration to do anything other than what they're doing.
I thought about that, too.
That's dope.
I thought about that, the fact that, like, Yo-Yo wasn't a clone.
Hence, when Kiefer Sutherland had the whole club outside chasing down the three.
Yeah.
And Fontaine pulled the gun out, and he was like, what'd he say? Black,
what was the code word? The code word was something.
Yeah. It was like, it wasn't black molasses, but it was something like that.
He said something like that, and he was like, I'm not a clone. At the end of the movie.
He was like, I'm not a clone, but he is. Chester
Black Olympia. Or
Black Olympia. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah. A Black Olympia. And then Olympia Fields. Or something like that.
Something.
You know what I'm saying?
Something.
Olympia Fields.
I think. Yeah. Olympia Fields is where the homie lives in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Oh, hold on. Black Olympia, something like that. It was something Olympia, right?
Yeah.
Anyhow, that was a trigger to get any clone to do what you wanted him to do or her to do.
Right.
In this case, Yo-Yo wasn't a clone. She was like, he ain't the only motherfucker with a gun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then he couldn't control her.
Mm-hmm. But he can control the...
You know what I'm saying? He can control the clone, mm-hmm. and he controlled her.
Right.
Almost broke her hand, took the gun out, took the gun from her, it was like a shooter.
Yeah.
And that was to let people in the hood know, like, that's how they see us, man. We clones.
Yeah.
Once you kill him, another one that's just like you is going to resurface.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if you get rid of one drug dealer, another one pops up. You get rid of one pimp, another one pops up. You know what I'm saying?
Did you guys find it ironic that this was all the mastermind of a black man?
Huh.
You know?
That threw me, because his reason for doing it was more like, I guess he said his actual brother did get killed, right? And he thought because by a white policeman.
Mm-hmm.
But if I make clones and they just stay and they stay in their place, then that'll keep
him
safe.
His evil mission was he wanted to transform black people into white people. That was the goal of the whole experiment. You guys missed that, or did you catch that?
I didn't catch
that. So he wanted to turn black people into white people. The white guys with the afros were like an early prototype.
Mm-hmm.
And he said as much, right? Like, you know, they're kind of like a prototype. But in the back, when we kind of go into his office, you could see the evolution in the background of like black people slowly turning to white.
Mm.
And so that was his master plan, is that the only way this country is ever going to survive is if we don't have this conflict. And it's more than just conforming mentally. We've got to literally be
become white. Explain to me why he kept cloning Tyrone, cloning Fontaine.
So essentially what he said and what Kiefer Sutherland's character said is that we need time and an environment to work on these these experiments.
That's true. He said, like, so in the meantime, we got to keep y'all doing
We got to keep everything. We got to keep this place as predictable and forgettable as possible, so that, you know, we can do what we need to do to learn, because everything that they were talking about was like mind manipulation, mm-hmm. right? Like, you know, how do we control the way they think? How do we control the way they talk? You know, the hair products were designed to like pacify. So this basically was their petri dish.
Right.
And they were running this operation here in LA and everywhere right. else.
I think that's kind of what I took away from the film, is that it hit who it was supposed to hit, how it was supposed to hit them. Different mm-hmm. people who are vibrating on a different higher level are going to see way deeper into it. Other people, yeah. it's crazy. Other people will just see it as a dope movie. Mm-hmm. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Or something crazy, or something that's still sci-fi, as opposed right. to the people that's like, no, it's messages, it's jewels in galore. Yeah. You know what yeah. I'm saying? And the more I watch it, the more things that, like, for instance, I didn't see the transition on the back wall. Like, those are the mm-hmm. details I didn't look at that I will probably catch. Well, I know for sure I'm going to catch next time. That's
why you watch the movie more than once.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two, three, four, yeah. five times.
But a lot of people don't.
Because I was listening to the, I'm sorry. Cause,
no, you go, you go, you go.
I was listening to the conversation that old Fontaine was saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thrown off by all the things that were happening. They were cutting away.
Right, to like right.
Because all the action scenes are happening.
So, yeah, mm-hmm. I was kind of like, in my mind, I was still processing what I was doing.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, why is he doing this?
Slick Charles and Yo-Yo was up yeah. against Kiefer Sutherland's character. Mm-hmm. And so it was all kind of things happening.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So,
I mean, like, that, like, the fact that, like, Yo-Yo's natural hair protected her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Like
yeah,
like little yeah. shit like
what
that.
What's it called? Like, it's called a protective do or something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
You do braids or you yeah. do plaits, and then you put your weave on top mm-hmm. or a
yeah.
wig on top.
Yeah. 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 It, you know, it was like just so much like little stuff.
That was
And you know what's crazy to add to that? It's a lot of white people who can't tell when women have on. They're like, oh, is this your real mm-hmm. hair? And it's like, yeah, this is my real hair. Or
they didn't even get it.
They didn't even know. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They just automatically
this
assume.
Perm right here.
Yeah. yeah.
That ain't my hair, dumbass.
Yeah, right.
The general unseriousness at the end of the movie, where like the news crews are there.
Yeah.
And like, there's still motherfuckers clowning. Like, they out here clowning niggas.
Hey, back in the yeah. day, I wouldn't yeah. even fuck with this nigga back in the day. But now, if you see double, it's trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah right, right.
Like, you know, the all of that, you know, there. It's just, you know, for me, it's probably one of the most unique movies I've seen in a long
very
time.
Very unique, yeah.
yeah. Very special. And I applaud it.
And that's why we do this show, bro.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a movie like this in a while.
Yeah. It actually makes you think, and it's yeah, entertaining, and it looks good visually. The acting yeah. is good. Mm-hmm. The plot is good. The lines, the writing is good. Everything is just.
Yeah.
All these dudes. All these hood people look like and remind me of hood niggas I know. Mm-hmm. It was relatable. And that's what I try to do with my content, is try to make people laugh and relate to the characters, because they know somebody like that they grew up yeah, with.
And you yeah. don't even have to be in L.A. or in
you
the blend.
Have to be in L.A., yeah.
You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? That's why they was like, hey, looked over, was like, Tyrone, they clone, or what they say, they clone mm-hmm. Tyrone.
They
you
clone know what I'm saying? Tyrone.
But Tyrone is really Fontaine, somebody somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
So
it's interesting. Like, one last little thought about the future of black filmmaking.
Right.
It's very, like I came away from this, because we've covered a lot of movies, over 50 movies.
Right.
And I don't know if they're going to make any more hood movies. I don't know.
They are. Yeah,
like I'm not connected enough to the hood to know what the stories are. Right. But I know, like, there's a lot of stories about, you know, like the police, you know, shooting. So they tell those tales. I don't know if we'll get another Boys to Men or Menace to Society Boys or another Hood. Boys in the Hood. Another yeah. Boys in the Hood. Or Men. I don't know if we're going to get that movie again. But like, what Jordan Peele is doing, what Blackening is, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
there's some new stories that are being told by a generation of filmmakers who maybe aren't as tethered to like past black cinema
right.
as before.
Right.
But like, you would think that this movie came straight out of blaxploitation, that yeah. an older director yeah. directed this.
But that's what. But as we see, history always repeats itself, mm-hmm. even with fashion.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? People come around to, at some point, people are going to be back to wearing baggy clothes again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just because that's just, yeah. how it, that's just how it goes.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know,
they
with the music.
They started to do it again already, yeah. but it's mm-hmm. almost like retro.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's almost like.
But like, that's how we used to dress. You yeah. know what I'm saying? We mm-hmm. used to put
Yeah, man, long tees, white tees.
Mm-hmm. Don't maybe put a rubber band on the bottom of the pants.
Yeah. Yeah. You cut the size of your jeans so you can fit. Yeah, yeah, you can fit over your jeans, over your shoe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, bro.
Facts. I agree, creasing
my jeans.
Creasing,
man. I start creasing jeans now.
I was like, bro, you got a crease in your jeans now?
Yeah.
You can't crease your jeans. Nah, not your jeans.
If you saw me coming out with.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be paying attention.
Oh, yeah.
I starched them joints up.
Mm-hmm. They put that iron on that.
Man.
Press down hard.
Was ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
Was ready to go.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's get into some awards.
Some awards.
Who's the MVP?
Who is the MVP? That's tough. That's
of the tough. Clone Tyrone.
I would definitely say Yo-Yo. I would say
Yo-Yo. 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 Yo-Yo.
It's Yo-Yo.
Yo-Yo.
It's Yo-Yo.
Because for a few reasons, she's Nancy Drew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's Nancy Drew.
They didn't know what to do with that information, and she had the information.
Mm-hmm.
She had read and studied, and they came to her. So what would Nancy Drew do?
What's Nancy Drew's sex shit do?
You know what I mean? She was like, well, they would then find out a little bit more.
Yeah.
So she puts them on the path to trying to figure out exactly what's going on. She calls them on their shit when they give up fighting back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They both
gave up and then until they got her.
Mm-hmm.
They snatched her up when the other prostitute was like, she was here, but they came and got her in this big ass truck.
Mm-hmm.
They was like, oh, nah.
Yeah.
I think she's definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
Who's the LVP? Is there an LVP of
Tyrone? That's how dope this movie was. I think everybody was necessary, damn near. Let me think. I think a little deeper. least valuable player?
I mean, I obviously was talking about who I like the least, but I can't say nobody was. Everybody played a part.
From the dude getting ran over by the car,
he played a part.
To Isaac, everybody played a part.
Yeah. To the little boy, he played a part.
Yeah, you know I mean,
even Kiefer Sutherland.
Yes,
like he played a part.
Yeah, for sure. That was the most. That was probably one of the most important scenes.
Yes,
in the film.
Yes,
up to then,
yeah.
To explain what's going on. You know what I mean,
the white Afro guys played a part.
Yeah,
Old Fontaine played a part. Chester, even though he didn't have no words.
Right. Nah.
You know.
But he was probably one of the, he wasn't the oldest clone, but he was one of the most developed clones.
Mm-hmm.
He knew how to squab. He had more hands than Fontaine.
Yeah.
But they
Chester
probably,
was a weapon.
They programmed him better.
I was thinking that too. They gave
Fontaine just wild aggression. They gave Chester like aggression, precision fighting.
Right.
He was nasty with it.
You can look at Chester and tell he wasn't nothing to fuck with. When he first walked up, I said, oh, this is different. He a different.
Yeah.
He a different one.
This is Terminator. Chester.
Fontaine.
He
gonna run through.
And the way Boyega played that, like at first, I was thinking, like a light bulb's gonna go off in Chester's head. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, especially when it was just Chester and Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah.
And I was like, see, something's going to happen, and he's going to have a connection with Fontaine.
Right.
And suddenly, whatever, you know, they do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Where somebody who's been automatic, like, suddenly their program shift.
Chester, come back.
Chester was never like that. Right. Chester never looked at Fontaine with anything.
Yeah.
It was never, it was never disgust.
Yeah.
It was never friendship.
He was never like,
affinity. Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nope.
Us?
What?
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Could it be?
There was no like get out vibes. There was something else inside Chester on the way out.
He was blank. He was super blank.
Right. Yeah.
But there was with Slick Charles when he was under the spell,
mm-hmm.
when he was telling when Kiefer Sutherland was telling Fontaine to shoot his put the gun in his mouth,
mm-hmm.
you saw Jamie was like he was trying to fight back.
Yeah.
Even when he let
mm-hmm.
him go,
mm-hmm.
he took the trance. He's like, relax. He was like,
yeah.
Mm. Like he was trying to fight.
He was trying to fight back. Yeah.
Because I think what it was is that they were both under hypnosis, but he was focusing on Fontaine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he didn't really. He had Slick Charles. Kind of like at bay.
Yeah.
But not really under his.
Yeah. He was frozen.
He was frozen.
Like that was the off switch or the button.
Yeah.
Okay, so no real LVPs here?
Maybe the fan in Old Boy's hand.
Yeah.
The fan. But he needed
That fan was clutch.
Especially
in that area.
He always had it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every time you seen him, he had
it. Which means he always had batteries for it.
Yeah.
He was prepared. Oh, he had a USB charger.
The homeless wino, he played a role.
Oh, he was super important. He was necessary.
Yeah. He said that new car smell.
He said it's in the water.
Yeah, it's in the water.
It's in the water.
Yeah,
that's the first thing he said. I was like,
all the game.
So we did MVP, we did LVP. Wow, an overacting award?
Stick Charles
was doing sometimes. The most.
Yeah.
But he's a pimp.
It's once hard, again, it's going hard back, for a pimp to
going
play
back
small.
To the game, going back to the game banging stuff. Like everything ought to be super on point mm-hmm. and on too hard, yeah. too rigid. Pimps is like, come on, man, what you talking about?
But you're talking about. I didn't like how he, you know what I'm saying? With the it was certain mm-hmm. times he was up and then he came down.
Yeah.
Other parts where he was going, mm-hmm. and he went loud and then he was like, nigga, you think I'm scared of you, nigga?
Yeah.
And then he was like, Spidey Sense ain't going off of him?
Yeah.
But totally believable.
Right.
Totally believable.
Oh, yeah.
I liked how you pull that gun out, too. That mm-hmm. go, that all goes.
I love that they all had straps.
They all had straps.
A game banger is going to need a gun. He has to have a gun.
Yeah. They all had straps.
And a prostitute in the hood should have a gun, too.
Yes. Yep.
And a pimp, if you really know what you're doing, you're going to have one, too. But he wasn't with the violence at first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was like, man, come on, man.
That's why his gun was so pretty. That shit was just for show.
Yeah.
Unless I got it.
Show pistol.
You know what I'm saying? Because who really going to be out here with a gold gun and think ain't nobody going to say, yeah, he was in with the gold gun? You know what I'm saying? If you could, you bring that motherfucker out, it's for a good reason. Yeah. He liked pulling it out, too. Yeah.
Just in case.
Pause. Ooh.
Yeah. Pause indeed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, good. You know what I'm saying?
Moving right along.
Can we go to some fists?
Pause indeed.
Yeah.
Pause. We get it.
Could have found a new way to.
Uh-huh. Where is the brother that's on me. The mace?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Now it's time. It's like I'm playing BB Bridges.
Right?
Like, find my way to ask.
No B words.
Yeah, right. No B words. How do we rank the Clone Tyrone? From Five Black Fists, all time classic. One Black Fist.
From watching it twice in the first 2 months mm-hmm. of its droppage, it gives me everything I need, man.
Yeah.
The acting, the performances, the story.
Yeah.
It gives me story. It gives me performance. It gives mm-hmm. me front, middle. I mean, first, middle, and end.
And it has you wanting a sequel. I know I want a sequel. Yeah. I'm like, I want to see what happened. A lot of movies, I'm like, leave it how it is. It's cool. But I would want to see a sequel.
The lead, he did a great job. Jamie never, I wouldn't say never disappoints, but sometimes Jamie did not disappoint at all.
Right.
He was fantastic.
Tiana was dope.
Mm-hmm.
John Boyega carried that. He carried that character.
Yes.
I believed him the whole way. Yes. There's one thing, when they went to Granny's house, mm-hmm. it was at Yo-Yo's house. Mm-hmm. And he got up and was like, I said, okay.
Okay.
He mimicked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he mimicked. Yeah. I could tell it didn't. That's the one time in the whole film I was but he bailed up. But I get it. He bailed up like he learned that from somebody else.
It was a few things he did where I was like,
that. And then he was like, your mom, you want me to get something from the store?
Yeah.
Niggas would talk like that.
The Tyrone version.
Yeah.
Right.
The Tyrone version.
Even though it's obvious, they're all using Dub C, like they're all using the same like dialect coach.
Yeah.
I appreciate the effort though.
Aha. Uh-huh. I got the one thing I do not like, bro.
What?
And I notice it every once I notice it, I notice it every time I watch it now. And I feel like both of y'all gonna notice it now. I feel like this is the MVP. I mean
LVP?
The LVP. The fake ass waist he was benching, bro. When I tell you that I was noticing that the weights were light,
uh-huh.
I said, it don't look.
Hey, it's a slight delay.
Yeah.
You hitting 275?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a slight delay for someone his size. For
sure. Yeah. I said. So,
yeah.
That was a lot of weight for him to be putting up.
Yeah. I said, nah, he's mm-hmm. your first time, June Bug.
Yeah.
I said, nah, you ain't just come from
John
up under the weight.
5'8", 5'9".
Yeah.
That's 275.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a good nitpick.
Unless, because even when the shirt off, his shirt, he's supposed to be pokey. Paul.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be out here.
He was straight.
That dude ain't 200 pounds.
Yeah.
Fontaine ain't 200 pounds.
Yeah, no. Right. No. He's not at all.
And he was shorter than Jamie.
Yeah.
Jamie was taller than
Jamie
him in that scene.
Jamie's about 5'10", 5'11".
Yeah.
He about 5'9".
It's a nitpick because the way
that's
you know,
what took
Fontaine,
me out of the scene.
And the way Fontaine acted, like, after he hit the bench, like, when he sits up, He didn't even need all that motivation.
Yeah.
He was like three or four of them niggas. Yeah. You can do it, God. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he was like struggling.
I feel like he should have been by himself.
Yeah.
At least put 100 pounds on it for real in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then act with
he
that.
He could still hit the weights.
I think that was like 30 pounds.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's rank it out.
Yeah. Whew. I want to say 5, man.
Mm-hmm.
I dug it. I'm gonna give it 5.
I give it a four.
4.
I gotta watch it again because it's a lot that I missed
that
I feel like will bring me to a 5. But I'm definitely there.
Yeah.
It's up there.
Yeah.
So I'll say a 4.
It'll be interesting if 5 years from now I still want to watch this movie, right? Like it'll be interesting how this movie ages and grows on us. Like the same way, like I love House Party. And right. I can't wait to watch it,
right.
And I'm always happy when it comes on.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see if this movie ages like that.
Mm.
But right now, this is 5 Black Fists for me.
Right,
okay.
Like right now, this has the potential. Like if I throw a dinner party, and I don't have this kind of life anymore, but like that's the type of movie I would throw on.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't seen The Clone Tyrone?
Right,
you got to see this shit.
Put this in real quick.
You got to see
something
this
I would
shit.
Want to watch with my kids at some point.
Yeah,
like when they about 15, 16, yeah. Like hey,
yeah, yeah.
So it's got great rewatchable value.
Yeah. I like the when they showed the plan, and they show how the ops got together and the wheelchair. I feel like they incorporated everything. Even at the end, the dude in the wheelchair is still causing havoc. Mm-hmm. He ordered punches
right,
on.
Right,
he part of the whole movie. You know what I'm saying? And so I thought that I'm thinking when it comes to like what's going on. Who's obviously it's like the Wizard of Oz thing. Like who's behind all
that's
this?
That's why I feel like the sequel. Yeah.
And then we found out who's behind it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh snap. It's not even Kiefer.
But you got to think about who's funding what he got going
exactly.
on. That's what I'm saying. That's right. What the sequel is for. Who's funding that?
If
you
they
here,
do it.
Yeah.
You running this because this is where you were from. This is your base. But who gave you the okay to do this shit? Because
right. Old Fontaine alludes to that. Like he basically says, like, I made a deal with the devil,
yes,
you know, in order to achieve this particular goal. So I'd love to see what happens with Tyrone.
Uh-huh. Yeah, with
right.
Him like
his thing. I'm super interested in what's going on with Fontaine, Sir Charles, and Yo-Yo. I want to see what happens when they get to Memphis.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and I want to go more into what's going on with the conglomerate with Cobra, you know,
right,
whatever
right,
they are
operation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So I want to return to this world.
But it gave me everything I needed. It gave me. Southern gave me a Southern feel with the old school.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Gave me pimp. It gave me gangster. Gave me street dudes. It gave me ho.
Gave me sci-fi.
It gave me sci-fi. So it was funny.
I feel like somebody really took their time with designing Yo-Yo's outfit too, because
that little yellow jeans.
I was like,
she fit it.
Talk to me. She looked like a little key little Foxy Brown superhero.
Yeah.
Low-key.
Yeah.
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 Man.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like somebody drew her like that and was like, yeah, we're going to bring this to life.
Right.
And she filled it out.
And so for like a directorial debut,
come on,
yeah,
like for a direct for a first feature film,
right?
First time directing,
yeah.
I cannot wait
Think
to see what
like
his brother's working on.
And I almost felt like, damn, did I give it the 5? Because I wanted to, but I was like, am I am I not judging hard enough? I said, nah, I think I am. I'm re-breaking this movie down, this film. And I'm saying what I do like, what I don't like. I mean, John Singleton's first film is a 5 for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
F. Gary Gray's first film was a 5.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And this was ambitious.
This was.
Yeah.
This was hella ambitious.
Real risky.
Yeah, this is not linear. It's not like, oh, the movie happens in all in one day. Friday happens all in one day.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
This was ambitious.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a movie that happened over the course of a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They figured it out. Yeah, man. 5 Black Fists for me.
5 Black Fists
they
for me.
They clone Tyrone.
Yeah.
I've never met someone who hates this film, but I heard some people don't even like it.
Yeah.
And I get it. But I wonder if it's because they didn't understand it or they don't care too much about sci-fi. Yeah. But I wonder, I would find it hard to believe that people say, hey, the acting was bad or the story was just trash.
Yeah.
I was like,
I feel like people who think it's all sci-fi are the people who just don't get it, because to me, it's not all sci-fi.
It's not all sci-fi.
It's hood.
It's hood.
It's masked as sci-fi, but it's a lot of truth in it. It's blatant truth.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But the delivery is sci-fi. But like real, I said, some people just ain't going to get it. They're going to say, oh, this is just a goofy
movie. I didn't get it.
And it's like, and I'm with you. Like, I don't want to judge them people for not getting it.
Yeah.
But it's almost kind of like you're not tuned into the right frequency.
Right.
And this is not a highfalutin movie. To your point,
right.
This is not no existential, you know, hella indie type of shit. Like, it's very raw and real in front of you. Mm-hmm. But I think some people, you know, they're just not open.
Right.
They need it straightforward. This is not a linear movie.
Right. It's not.
It's not a linear movie. Mm-hmm. So like some people just give me that.
Right.
And this movie asks the audience to think.
Right.
Yeah.
And to play along.
What do you guys
ride along?
What do you guys think about this film? Is this a Black Fist, a five Black Fist for you? Or is it four? Is it a three? Is it a two?
And why?
Yeah. I would love to hear your comments about why you did or did not like this film. I can see some people be like, I don't get it. Then this white dude hopped out of a car out of nowhere. what are we doing?
Yeah.
There's a secret.
What are we doing?
There's a secret elevator that goes down to this this chemistry lab. Like, I thought this was the hood movie. Like, it's way
why
more.
Why they always talking about chicken?
Right.
Yeah. It's always, you know.
Right.
Idiots.
Nah, it was dope to me. I enjoyed it, man.
Yeah.
Hey, yo, Brother Darrell, man, thank you so much.
Thank y'all for having me, man.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
This is a perfect film to come back on, because when I was excited, I told Jazz, I was like, hey, I'm going back on Blackbuster. She said, what y'all doing? I said, they clone Tyrone. She's like, you've been watching that movie back to back? I said,
Yeah,
it's perfect. Yeah,
they clone Tyrone. Yeah, what I wouldn't have given to be in this film, bro.
I would have loved to be one of the homies, one of the goons or something. That's why I said Dean would have killed that role. I'm sitting there looking
at it. I could see Dean for sure.
Jazz was like, you would have played, what's his name?
Isaac?
Isaac.
The goon.
The goon. The she said, hey, you would have played. When they showed him shaving, with the shape, I said,
and he walked up,
give me that.
Yep. Absolutely, bro. For sure.
But, you know, it'll happen.
Write it.
Yeah.
For sure. I'm going to start throwing some crazy shit at y'all. And be like, listen, man. All right, what we about to do, we about to take this shit, we're going to flip it on his head.
Right.
Like, you know, and go for it, because that's, I mean, it took what was obvious and connected it and tethered it in a way that just fucking worked. So much creativity.
Yeah. Fantasy.
Yeah.
What if there's a whole little world under the glen that was cloning these men and women and putting them back into the world? And it's crazy.
Yeah.
And not even explaining it, nothing. They didn't care nothing about the people who saw the nigga die and see him alive the next day.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Just put him back in the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Goddamn. Anyhow, man, we can talk about this for another hour.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. This is fun, man. They clone Tyrone, man. Jewel, last name. Jewel. I should have had it. Jewel Taylor. Brother Taylor, man, you did your thing, man.
Bravo.
Shout out to you, man.
Bravo.
So, Jewel Taylor, man, I can't wait to see what you come up with next. Mm-hmm. That's dope, bro. They clone Tyrone, Anthony Darrell, Big Ja.
They clone Big Tone.
They clone Big Tone.
I was gonna put on a hat. Like, what I wanted to do this whole episode is like subtly keep putting on different shit.
Yeah, being somebody different.
Right.
Yeah.
So like, but I left all my shit at home. So I was going like while we was in the middle of conversation, I was gonna put on my chain.
Uh-huh.
Right. Like, you know, they put on like some wristbands and just basically be a different dude every 10 minutes.
They clone Tyrone.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
But I fucked it up.
It's all good. the name is dope enough.
Man. Yes, sir.
We had fun, y'all. Catch us next time. On Blackbusters, I'm your host, Big Ja.
They clone Big Tone.
Mm-hmm. Special guest, Anthony Darrell. Tap in next time, man. Much love. To the max. Pew.
Blackbusters. What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Tone. One half of the best black movie review podcast in the world. In the world, Craig. This episode of the Blackbusters Podcast is brought to you by Amazon Prime. Prime is more than just free shipping. Prime brings you closer to the things you care about today through shopping, streaming, and savings. For example, did you know that you can listen to your favorite podcasts, like ours, through Amazon Music? Yup. You can also watch your favorite movies, like the ones we review on Blackbusters, on Amazon Prime Video. Yup. But it doesn't stop there. You can use Prime to get more out of your interests. From purchasing behind-the-scenes books about your favorite movies to listening to soundtracks of your favorite films. Yup, yup, and yup. Whatever you're into, or just getting into, Prime can help you get closer to it. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to sign up. From movies and music to passions and podcasts, it's on Prime.